Thank you for today. Thank you for how far you brought us. Even as your word is coming, we pray that your word will come full of power to transform. May we never be the same, even after we encounter your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this week we've been looking at strategic keys that will help us advance. You know, we are talking about the keys of the kingdom. Right, and then we are trying to see that there are specific doors. You know, the Bible says that the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines ever brighter. You know, for God to be able to see that, it means there is enough provision. Are you getting the point? And you know, in the kingdom of God, you will find that there are realms in the kingdom. And the realms in the kingdom, right, are like rooms, right? They are like rooms. So, for instance, if you encounter a realm and you are able to experience what is in that realm, if it is not like you are passing by, you know, by mistake, assuming you touched it, you know, or God wants to stir your appetite, so he opens it and closes it so that you now can open it yourself. Now, if you're able to open a particular realm and you're able to enter into that realm, now you begin to operate from the source or from the resources that are in that realm. What that means is that forever you are going to glean from that field. You understand what I'm trying to say? Simply put, what I'm trying to say is that it's possible for you to operate in a particular realm forever because you have the keys of that realm. In other words, you can open that realm and you can close that realm. In other words, you know when, for instance, maybe if a realm like prosperity is open to you, you will know when to open that realm of prosperity and even close that realm. So when you find that maybe in a particular season, maybe you are not prospering as much as you would want to, you will know why that seems to be so, because you have entered into a realm. You understand? So keys of the kingdom are very important, especially if we want to really advance in life. You must understand that, right? Today I'm going to teach you something very powerful, and I want you to pay attention and then listen. Is that all right? Proverbs chapter 24 verse number 10. I think by now, if you don't know this scripture, then we should cane you, because I've been using it almost every time. And the woman of God in her exhortation even used this scripture. The Bible says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That means that there is a time that something is going to come against you. You know, the Bible makes us understand that that thing is going to come. You see, you are not going to miss that stage of your life, because you see, in the process of time, as God begins to build you, you see, there is an exam you are going to write, and life will always bring an exam. You see, it's a test. That is how we graduate. You know, God, you see, it's like this. This is how our lives are like. God will teach us, train us, build us, right? Then, what he's trying to do by that is to prepare us for the next level. So, we are supposed to be moving from one level to another, right? But for us to be able to move from one level to another, we have to pass an exam. And if we fail that exam, we are repeated. Now, it happens that God is the one that has ordained that before we move to the next level of our lives, we should write these exams and then pass. But you see, it is not God that sets the question. See, God is interested in building you and is so confident of you that he allows an external invigilator called the devil to come and test you. Now, the goal of that testing is to prove of what worth you are. Do you understand that? So, for instance, you will never know how weak you are spiritually until maybe you are going to write an exam and you find that you are afraid. You see, at that point, your eyes will be open to the knowledge that you are weak. So the Bible says that if your strength fails in the day of adversity, that there is a day called the day of adversity that every single one of us is going to encounter that day. And you see, that day is not just going to be once in your life and that is all. At every point in your life, at every time you have to cross from one level to another, there will be a trial of a lifetime. Can you imagine Jesus comes to the earth and he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Bible says that he was baptized and the heavens opened, and the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove. And we would think that right after this, Jesus will start his ministry. Because this is how people start their ministry. They start after public declaration. Maybe a prophet comes and tell them, I see in the spirit. You are a prophet. You are an apostle. That is where the ministry of the one who was called apostle will begin. But when Jesus was publicly proclaimed to be the Son of God, immediately the Bible says the Spirit was the one that drove him. In other words, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, it's not the devil. It's not the devil that drove him. It was the Spirit of the Lord that drove him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. What does that teach us? There is a day called the day of adversity. And in that day, it will be a test of strength. Of what sort are you? Because God cannot give you something that is bigger than you. You know, I heard something from Apostle Joshua Selman. And it made perfect sense. He said that in life, the laws of life is designed in such a way that whenever you have something, right, that your level cannot contain. In other words, maybe that thing that you have is bigger than your level. Circumstances of life and everything about life is structured in such a way that you lose that thing that you have. So let's say that your level is not enough to contain 5 billion. If you have 5 billion today, everything in life will ensure that you lose that 5 billion. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? So sometimes we can blame ourselves when we see that certain things we don't have, or there are certain things that we are struggling with. You know, that's why we cannot be entrusted with bigger responsibilities. So there is always a testing in the process. There is always a testing. There is always a testing. Of what sort are you? Because for you to be entrusted with greater responsibilities, there will be a testing. You know, I'm here now and I'm leading KRF, you know, and someone will just say, it's easy. You see, it's just about starting a ministry, go online and just, gather people and start. I didn't start from here. There was a time I used to go for a meeting, and the meeting I would go, from the house, I know that I am the only one going to be there from experience. But yet still, I will go. Sometimes I will go walk around to win souls, to bring them. Unfortunately, nobody will come. After speaking, they will tell you they will come. They will not come. Then you go and stand on the field alone. And you have to make sure that you... Sometimes you are discouraged. But there was a particular time that... I was tired. I knew I couldn't go home before the time. So I just sat down. And then I just done this. And then, I was waiting. Do you understand that? Yes. See, it was from that point that I learned that something cannot spoil in my hand.
It doesn't matter the number of people that come. There were times I would borrow money to go, and I have no hope of how to return. But I will go, and then I'll go and then have a meeting and then come back home. During those period of time, it was a moment of testing. You know, a moment of testing. Of what sort are you? Are you sure if God brings 10 billion people, you can accommodate them? If God brings 30, 40, you can accommodate them? We will test of what sort you are. If we realize that you cannot have the fortitude to hold on, even from that time onwards, like to hold on to that thing and not lose hope, we will not entrust that. Because you see, it's the destinies of people you are dealing with. And some of you in a critical stages of your life, you are losing the very foundations of the things that kept you. Because things have shaken you. Do you understand the point I'm trying to make? See, of what sort are you? See, life will start from a honeymoon stage. Just like Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord descended like a dove, alighted on him. The same way David, a man after the heart of God, the prophet of God, came. Look at how David was anointed king. So spectacular. The prophet came, went to Jesse's house, and when he went there, he was asking for the sons, and he thought it was Eliab and all that, and the whole drama of everything. And the prophet said, I will not sit down until that last son that is there in the bush comes home. And the prophet of God was waiting for a young boy in the bush, and the young boy came. And when the young boy came, the Bible says that he was anointed as king over Israel. But do you know how many years that prophecy, king over Israel, came to pass? 20 years. And throughout the 20 years, it was full of testings and testings and testings and testings. It got to a point, there was a trial. And the Bible says that he met Saul. Saul was the man that wanted to kill him. He was the man that wanted to kill David. He met Saul. And could have killed Saul. But he understood. I cannot kill the Lord's anointed. Then the Lord said, okay, now you are ready. You are ready. Gradually, and you look at his life and you will see a series of changes that the man had to go through. He got to a point, even his enemies, he didn't wish them dead. His heart was big enough to forgive. Okay, are you here with me? Yes. So unless that you go through that stage, unless that you build to that level of your life, God cannot entrust greater things into your hands. So it will start with, for instance, an anointing. Maybe prophetic unction will come upon you. That prophetic unction, or that level of the prophetic you are experiencing, and it's powerful and it's wow, it will dry out soon. But the question is, it when it begins to dry out, which is the test of time, do you know the foundation to what actually kept it alive? That you will draw near, it doesn't matter what. Are you getting the point of Christ? So, in life, it's a test. And the test is to show of what sort you are. And the Bible says, unfortunately, if your strength fails in that season, it means that your strength is small. You don't have capacity. It means that you failed God in that moment. You know, but my wife asked the question, and that is the reason why we are having this lecture. The question she asked was this. You see, if I should wait for the day of adversity for my strength to be tested, what if my strength is not enough? So is there not a way that I could actually know whether I have enough strength for the day of adversity or not? Is there not a way to test whether I know? Is there not a way to know within you that no, I am prepared for the day of adversity? Of course, the answer is that there is a way. So there is a way of knowing, or there is a way you can know. You can sit down and be sure that whatever comes tomorrow, you can face. It's possible. It's possible to know whether you can stand certain temptations or not. It's possible. It's possible to know whether you are going to walk in righteousness or not. It's possible. It's possible to know whether you are going to walk in prosperity or not. It is possible. It is possible to know that nothing will separate you from the love of God. It's possible to know. And so today we are looking at three levels of knowledge. Three levels of knowledge. Are you here with me? So when you receive any information, whether spiritual, physical, but most likely spiritual, because we are looking at spiritual knowledge. When you receive spiritual knowledge, it must go through certain processes for you before you can say that this thing, I have it. If it doesn't go through these three stages, you don't have it. Forget about it. It means that if the day of adversity comes, you will fail. So I'm going to highlight three levels that knowledge must pass through. Three levels that information, see, three levels that you can operate in to ensure by the time you reach the third level and you are able to go through the third stage, you are sure and you know within your knower. There's a word like that, that you can stand the test of time. Are you ready? Okay. So first of all, whenever you have spiritual knowledge, there's a background to this whole lecture I'm about to give you. But I don't have time, so I can't go to the background. But on a brief, whenever you have, no matter the kind of knowledge, spiritual knowledge, whatever it is, there must be an aspect of your life. No man is spirit, soul, body. So there must be an aspect of your life that knowledge that you have should predominate, and that is your soul. It doesn't matter whether it's a spiritual experience, physical experience. If it doesn't rise through the soul, there is no way you can become that thing. You know, okay. So I can't go back to that, right? That is teachings for another day. But what I'm trying to say is that whenever you receive information, maybe spiritual information, right? That spiritual information is not yours. As long as it's at the level of information, it's not yours. But there is a stage where you can say, I know. So let's go through the stages. Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says to give prudence to the simple. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. To the young man, what? Knowledge and discretion. Okay, I think I missed the scripture. It's Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 10. The Bible says, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 10. The Bible says, wisdom will what? Enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So whenever you receive spiritual knowledge, that knowledge, the first stage that knowledge should pass through, or the first stage of knowing that you must have, is the knowing or the solical knowledge. The solical. When I talk about the solical, I'm talking about the knowledge that is captured in your soul, or the knowledge that is mental, is captured in your mind. Please, you understand? You can have a spiritual encounter, That spiritual encounter, no matter what, will not make so much impact in your life unless that spiritual encounter is able to be imprinted on your soul. What that means is that spiritual encounter, that spiritual knowledge, for instance, like I'm teaching you the word of God, unless that word of God stays here in your mind, unless that word of God is able to be received by you and you understand, and that's how we access that kind of knowledge, by understanding. So when we receive the word of God, then that word of God must be understood. And when we understand that word of God, we realize that understanding remains in our minds. And so when we say, do you know, you can be able to say, I know, because you have a stored knowledge in your mind. It's just like you are going to write an exam and you studied your books. You can say, I know, because you have studied the books. You know that kind of knowledge that resides in your mind. You see, that knowledge, when it was outside, was just information. So 1 + 1 is just information. But there is a place that information becomes yours. That is where it becomes that mental or solical knowledge. There are many people who had spiritual encounters and they lost it because that spiritual encounter were not imprinted on their souls. There was no memory of that spiritual encounter. When they want to think, remember that spiritual encounter, they forget. They realize that they have lost that spiritual encounter. In other words, that knowing, you cannot be said to have known. Do you understand? So the first level of knowledge must be a knowledge that is mental, a knowledge that is a product of understanding. You know, in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus talks about the sower that went to sow. And in verse 19, he tells us that there was a seed that fell on the wayside. And he says, these are the ones that they hear the word, but they don't understand. And because they don't understand, what happens is that the devil comes to steal the word. So the first thing the devil is coming after, whenever you hear any word of God, is your ability to keep it. If you cannot keep it, that's why, if I should ask you, what did you learn last 3 days? You realize that you don't remember. What happened immediately is that you don't know. Instantly, you realize that you cannot have an imprint of it. You don't know. So whatever you learned last week that you don't know. It means that the day of adversity will come and you will fail instantly because you don't know. I'm not talking about knowing the details. Okay, so I spoke about rising from a fall and I quoted Matthew chapter 30. No. It's about knowing of understanding. That kind of understanding that they have taught me, I know. If I find myself in a situation, I can recall what at least to do. Many of you don't, you know, there was a day the Lord was teaching me about honoring the word. And he says that, listen, son, if you want to honor the word, one of the first things that you must do is to pay attention to writing. Writing. No, there are many of you that are here that the attack the devil has thrown on us, you know, many of us, the attack the devil has casted on us is a genuine hatred for knowledge. We don't want knowledge. We would rather like to come and then see, touch it, take it. That is good for us. But to pay the price to endure knowledge, we don't. You know, I'm mentoring people, and sometimes when I look at the sheer disregard or the sheer lack of value for knowledge, sometimes it's funny. That's the beginning of your fall. There are many of you that you encountered situations that I have thought about and still failed. Why? You don't even remember that I've thought about it. You forgot. In other words, you don't know. So the first level of knowledge that you must have, at least that you know that you know, at least the first level should be that you know it, you can remember it, you can recall it, you have understanding of that kind of knowledge. What do you remember that God said? Some of you forgotten, you see, what God said 3 years ago. That's why you are crying now. See, for instance, let's say that right now someone is sick and the doctors have said that you are going to die and the person is not pregnant, I mean single, and the doctors have declared the person hopeless, you are going to die. Let's say the same person received the word 3 years ago that said that you are going to give birth to 3 children. And the children are going to be raised in the Lord. See, instantly, when the word comes from the doctor that says that you are going to die, see, that word will not have foundation. The reason is because you can remember that God said that he was going to give you 3 children. At least, as at now, you've not married. So it can never be that this word will stand. That's why, see, the psalmist says, and forget not his benefit. Because if you forget, what that means is that tomorrow, when another situation of lack comes, and then you must pay the price to actually understand that God is going to provide, you might not know, you will fail. So my question to you this evening is, do you know? That's my question to you. Do you know? So on the baseline level, can you recall? Do you understand? Is it staying here? Like I said, when I say, do you understand? I'm not saying that quote verbatim everything I said. But at least that you find yourself in a situation and you can recall that, okay, when I find myself in trouble, Pastor Patrick said I should pray. If you cannot recall that when there is a situation like that, it means that that knowledge, you don't have it. Okay, let's go to the second level of knowledge. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So this kind of knowledge is the knowledge by consciousness, or the conscious knowledge. See, it's possible that in the day of trouble, you can remember. Adrenaline can try and then produce a remembrance of that thing that was taught some time ago. But the question is this, is it a consciousness that you live by? Are you with me? Today, I went to work and we were going to do a TB test, right? And then, I didn't want to do it anyway because I didn't know the use or whatever. Plus, I also realized that they are just using it for something. So I didn't want to do it. But then a friend came and then encouraged. So we all went and then went to do it. And then they had to do a series of tests, HIV test, whatever. And when you go to the HIV test, I realized that everybody was saying, oh, it's okay. I tested. I don't have HIV. Yes. And then when I got there, the lady was, oh, said, you too, you there. Let me just stop. And I said, no, test it. Why? I mean, if you are not afraid, then what do you lose if they test? Listen, there is a knowing that you can know. When there is a consciousness of that knowledge. If that knowledge has not moved from just something that you can recall or something that you understood to a place where it is a consciousness. In other words, your mind is always thinking about it. Then you don't know. You see, and these levels, they are tests that will come to prove whether you know or not. So at the level where the mental level, at the level, there are some demons that will leave at that level by understanding that knowing, they will leave at the first level. But there are some demons that will never leave at the first level. They are waiting to know whether it is your consciousness. This is how you live. You see, at the level of consciousness that affected your mind, this is how you think. See, I cannot fail. Okay, do you understand that? You don't get it. I cannot fail. Listen, I cannot give up. See, there are certain things that are a part of my consciousness. See, there are certain things that are a part of how I think. See, I want you to get it. You see, there are many people that are working about, and when you talk to them, that is when you see, right in a church, they will say, "I have faith." But it is when you are speaking to them and they begin to talk to you into details that you realize that they don't have faith. They have nothing to prove or nothing to show their faith. Someone I thought about the will of God. Someone that is a person. See, the first level of knowing about the will of God is what I taught you. Your ability to understand and to even recall in a time of trouble. But that is not enough. There must be a place where it fills your mind. That's how you think about. So when they wake you up and they say, "Let's go to this school," the first thing you ask is that the will of God? Because it has flooded your mind. You think through that sense or through that lens. And so when you wake up in the morning and you have to even go and see, some of us, there are certain things that must flood our minds. Certain consciousness that we must intentionally build. You know, if I want to teach someone how to pray for me, you see, if I want to teach someone how to pray, you know, I'll not lay hands. Even I can lay hands on you and then you will receive energy to pray. I'll not lay hands. I will give you messages on prayer. About 50 of them, about 100 of them to listen. By the time you finish listening to them, your mind will become prayer. You are coughing and you are kabababa. You are eating and you are kabababa. So whenever you feel like there is a sense or there is an aspect of your life that you are losing at, first of all, is it something that I know enough to recall or enough to understand? Is it also something at the second level that is a consciousness I work in? See, in the consciousness, see, if you tap Bishop Oyedepo right now and say you will be poor, see, that thing will not have roots. See, that thing cannot survive. Do you understand that? I wish you can understand what I'm teaching you today. Because many of us thought we knew. Many of us thought we believed God until a day came when we were tested and we find that we didn't really believe God like we thought we did. And it doesn't matter if you're a man of God, if you're a prophet, if you are what, it doesn't matter. Oh yes, you will find that it is when a situation happens. I know men of God who they are so much keen on medications.
There was a mighty man of God that was talking to me, and then he was talking to me as a pharmacist, you know, and was asking me about some medications, and he was telling me about some of the side effects of the medications. And as at the time he was telling me about the side effects of those medications, I didn't know. I'm the pharmacist, I didn't know, but he knew. So do you know something? That consciousness of sickness is going to attract sickness. So if the devil wants to get you, what he will do is that consciousness of sickness. Do you know, there was a test they did. I mean, there was a mistake that happened. I mean, it's a common story that we all know about. There was a mistake that happened between two people who were going for their results. One of them was diagnosed and was told that she was going to die. Another person was also diagnosed and told that everything is fine. And I mean, they interchanged their results. So the one who was fine received the diagnosis that he was going to die, and the one who was going to die received the diagnosis that he's fine. And according to the research, or according to the incidents, the period of time elapsed, and the one who was originally healthy and was told that he was going to die was the one who died. He didn't die out of sickness. He died out of worry. He died out of different things. And the other person was alive. You know what happened? That thing. So when you read Matthew chapter 13, you know, verse number 22, the Bible talks about the group of people, the sower that went to sow. And the Bible says that for this word that went to sow, there were thorns. It sowed in thorns. And the Bible says that these are the ones that the cares of this earth, the cares of this world. You know what? When something becomes a care, it is something that you think about always. Then it becomes a care. So the cares of this world was able to squeeze the word, that the word died. Listen, the devil will try anything at all to seize your consciousness. Many of you can recite the last telenovela you watched into details, but you cannot remember scriptures, you cannot remember the word of God, or even have proper understanding when it comes to the word of God. There is a problem. Now, how do we walk in that conscious knowledge? We walk in that conscious knowledge by meditation. This book of the Lord should not depart from your mouth, but thou shalt meditate upon it when day, not day alone, day and night. So on Tuesday, for instance, when I wanted that word to enter me, I didn't listen to it once. Day and night. Day and night. See, it is children that they just receive words like these things I'm teaching you. And they receive it as just, oh, this is normal. And then they go and sleep. No. And listen to me. Learn these things quickly, because there is a day coming. You know, this time round, you know, I remember when Kelvin was going to write the exams, and I told Kelvin that, listen, this one, my anointing, by the anointing that is upon my life, if you can only believe, you will pass. You will graduate. By the grace of God, he passed. He graduated. Now he has been called to the bar. He's called, they have this words, I don't even know, E-K-O-K-O or something. Whatever. See, that whatever they are called, you know, the thing is this: if he didn't learn, he might think that the storm is over. But life will prove to you that the storm cannot be over. Oh yes.
That's how life will teach you a lesson. So in the whole analysis, what did he learn? What he learned out of that experience, what became the consciousness that he had from that experience is more important than the miracle that happened. Because another thing will come again. Oh, let me tell you, problems, as long as you are on the earth, you are going to face problems over problems over problems over problems. Yes. That's why it's funny sometimes when people, you know, after receiving a miracle, maybe they go to church and they receive a miracle, then they stop the church. Most of them go and come back after losing everything. Because you see, it's not the first breakthrough. See, when you get that money, there will be an equal dimension demon that will come. Oh yes, you see, some of you have never experienced some heights of demonic operation before because you are not the president of Ghana. You think that some of these people, when they get to that, you think that they are just worried about that. You are joking. They are worried about just the nation. The things that press them. It got to a point in time, our president used to go around. I don't know whether he has stopped, but as at the last time I checked, he will be walking around with his own chair. What are you talking about? With his own chair. Why? You will realize when you get to a particular height that they are spirits. They will have to introduce them. Maybe you didn't know, so you got to that height. They will have to now come and introduce themselves to them and say, we are the custodians of this level. You know, the Bible says that there was a harlot that sits on the seven mountains. A harlot. So you might be on ground and you will be saying that your uncle is wicked. Because one way or the other, your uncle has been able to climb a mountain and is sitting on top, and you are thinking it's wicked. The spirit that has manipulated him at that level, you have no idea. So do you know? What do you know enough that has become a consciousness? That is some of the things that you think about when you are talking about, when you are talking, it comes through. See, there's no way you wake me up from bed and then say, oh, you know, you have not been called, that it will make sense to me. There is a consciousness. It is that consciousness that I come here to preach to you with. Many people are struggling. Now, can you imagine? Monday to Thursday, for how many years now? We've been doing this for long. Monday to Thursday, from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, did I say Genesis? I mean, January. You know, I was listening to a message from Apostle Joshua Selman, and then he was saying that, you know, I teach an average of 2 messages a week. And I'm like, wow. I teach an average of 4 in a week. Hallelujah. Yes. What am I trying to say? That brook would have run out and become dry if there was no consciousness of the grace of God that produces what I am doing. Come and try it. Consciousness. See, you can see, listen, you know, when I finish ministrations like this, you see, my wife can tell me it was a powerful message, you know, and all that. And she likely knows my response. Oh, we bless God. That is all. Forgotten. See, that likely gets here. Because you see, there is a consciousness that I work with. Praises should not get here. Praises, no. I've not gotten anywhere. I can't relax. So praises should not get here. See, you might not have gotten to a particular level yet, but as much as possible, develop certain strategic consciousness. And it is those consciousness that will empower your movement. There is someone with that consciousness that for me, I want to be this person. And because I want to be this person, the sacrifice that that thing demands is to study. And so I will pay the price to study. That consciousness is here. You know, many of you don't know who you are. You know, my pastor is teaching something this weekend. And he's teaching about death. Death. And he said it last week, Friday, that he'll be dealing with death. And then he'll be rebuking, you know, that kind of powerful thing. Immediately, he said that, I don't know if my wife remembers, or I don't know if I told her, like, from my mouth. But I told myself that I won't go on Friday, because he said he was going to do it on Friday. On Wednesday, that's yesterday, today and Friday. I said, I won't go. No. I've passed it. I'm living in the newness of life. It's a consciousness. There was no way I can even preach it. When they were praying against death, there was no way I could pray about it. It can't come here. It can't come here. That knowledge cannot stay. I can't die now. I can't die now. I can't. It is too much of a consciousness. But today, my pastor called and said, tomorrow God willing, he's going to make me make some announcement at church, etc. So I have to go to church. Are you here with me? Consciousness. What is that consciousness? Do you even know who you are? Are you working in the consciousness of who you are? You are going to write exams and there is no consciousness. What is the state? Can you get to the place of realizing that you cannot fail? Upon the grounds that Jesus says I will succeed, I cannot fail. It's a consciousness. And the last level, then we end for this evening. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15 to 17. Genesis chapter 2. Verse number 15 to 17. So the Bible says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So Jesus, God was trying to bring to light a particular knowledge. He said, this tree is called the tree of knowledge. But this kind of knowledge, there is a way it operates. The day that you eat of this knowledge, what is going to happen is that you are going to experience death. So this is the knowledge by experience or experiential knowledge. Listen. You see, you can remember or understand a teaching. You can have the consciousness to meditate upon it for 500 years, you still don't know if that meditation has not been translated into experience. So the Bible says that, be not hearers alone, thereby deceiving yourselves, but be doers. There is a knowing that you can only know if you do the word. And the degree to which you can know is the degree to which you can do. So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 30 verse 23 that, and the seed, it brought forth some 30, you know, multiplications of increase. Those increase was in proportion to the degree of doership or doing of the word. There is no way. You see, you can be a student pharmacist, get all A's, but there is no way you can compare yourself to me, who is an experiential pharmacist. There is something I know on the ground that you don't know that will disqualify you. That is why when they are applying or they are looking for people to work in places, they say people who have work experience, because there is something that experience will do for you that no matter how much you think about something, it will not produce. So are you a doer? When was the last time you applied the word that was taught you? If you've never had an experience, listen to me. If you call me a prophet, you'll be right. Why? How do I get to the place? Because some of you are confused. You don't know who you are. You know that by saying that I'm a prophet, someone can say I'm proud. You know that by saying I'm a prophet, someone will say, look at these small, small boys. When God opened their eyes small, then they say they are prophets. Do you know what it takes to be a prophet? Because they are 80 years and I am not. But there is an experience I have with the prophetic. You cannot convince me that I am not. See, Jesus will have to come and tell me that I am not, for me to believe it. No, not you. There is an experience I have. How do I know I'm a teacher? There is an experience I have. No matter what, that experience beats anything. So I know that if I pick the scripture, see, I was telling you, or who was I telling yesterday, that nowadays I don't even teach. I don't teach. If I pick the scripture and I begin to break the scripture down, you will be shocked. I don't teach. I try to crystallize knowledge and bring it to you. But when I open the scriptures, the things I see, sometimes I'm wondering if everybody sees it like that. And that thing has been something that I've experienced over and over and over again. And so I know it. There is a knowledge that only comes by experience. And that is the knowledge that can bear fruit. So if the knowings that you have had has not gotten to the place where you have experienced it, you don't know. And it's not about experiencing it once. Experiencing it over, that is how you become an expert. Experiencing it over and over and over again, then you realize that apart from the fact that it floods your mind, is something that you can put your hand to your chest and say, I know. Do you know prayer? Do you know the love of God? Not until you have gotten to the place of experience, you don't know. And this is where many demons will ensure that you never get to that place. Because nothing beats experience. God is calling us to move from that place of comfort, that place where we are just satisfied with just hearing the word of God and going to sleep, to doing the law, the word. You know, the Bible talks of the word of God that came. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. As powerful as that phrase was, we never benefited until the Bible says that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is when that word had gone through a process of engagement for that word to manifest physically, an experiential aspect of that word came to pass, then that is when we now saw. So right now, if they tell you, is Jesus alive? You can say he's alive because you have experienced him. Many of you, you've not experienced Jesus. And so you are a time bomb. Tomorrow, a scientist is coming to tell you that Jesus is not alive. You know, I was telling one of my daughters something, because I think a lecturer or something, and this is something that we experience in school. When we are in our classes, then you see one unbelieving lecturer will come and say, you see, Look at this boy. He's a Christian. He's been praying. And then he's been failing. It is very easy for you to just be discouraged and for you to break down by virtue of that. But see, there is a knowing that you know by virtue of experience that you know this Jesus. You have felt this Jesus. You have encountered this Jesus. And it doesn't matter what, you know enough that God is alive. Some of you, you've not experienced Christianity, so you don't know whether this thing that we are talking about is real. So even though we talk about the miracles that happen, we talk about the experience, you've not gotten to the place where you yourself, you know, Jesus realized it was so important. Do you know what he did? The Bible says that after he resurrected, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. Why? He wanted the disciples to have a particular level of knowing that is not a knowing just by mental facts, that I said I will die and I will wake up. He wanted them to know a knowing that is by physical. It is so experiential that they cannot miss it. So even Thomas's doubt had to be cleared because the knowing of experience had to come into play. When does the word of God end for you? Does it end just in the mental faculty? Or there is a knowing within your knower that knows that you know? Now God is calling us to a place of koinonia. Have you met God? Have you encountered God? Are you born again? No, something as simple as born again. No, I was telling people that, listen, it's not enough that people tell you that, just believe that you are born again. You don't have to see anything. Just believe that you are born again. See, faith is not a cliche. I told you here that faith is not faith. For faith to be said to have been faith, there should be an evidence. Faith is not something that I believe just like that, blind belief. There should be an evidence. You are lifting up a voice of prayer. Father, I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. That every single Monday to Thursday I come for kingdom sermons. But look at my life. What has become of my life by virtue of these numerous encounters? There is something missing in my knowing, and that is experience. And Father, grant me the grace to be a doer of your word. Lift up your voice and pray.